Today on the program, we close out the blessed month of Snipesgiving with the best movie, I feel, in the lineup. It's Drop Zone. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week on the program, like I said up top, it's Drop Zone from 1994, directed by John Badham.
1994, important to mark. 1991, Point Break came out. I don't know if you can make any similarities here, similarities coming here to mind.
It's that, but it's also like skydiving was a thing at the time.
Like, that's true. Real, it was like rollerblading.
Yes.
Like rollerblading in the sky.
It was pretty extreme.
And this was one of two skydiving movies that were released in 94. They were like rushing to the theaters. It was this and Terminal Velocity, both of which I saw in theaters.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go to the X Games?
No, I did not. My dad was a bit of a skydiver in the mid-90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you watch the X Games?
No. Okay. No.
Do you skydive in the X Games? I thought that was like bikes and shit.
I'm sure they do like an opening ceremony where somebody skydives. Like, well, I have a hard time believing
I was
that's
trying
not true.
To equate it with, you know, skydiving, rollerblading, all these kind of like,
there's
like a, yeah, extreme, cool and dude, 90s sports. We're wearing a neon windbreaker. Yes. Deal with it.
The ludicrous wardrobe is really the pinpoint with all this.
Now, the X Games opening ceremony is like taking a Mountain Dew from like one side of the country to the other. Is that the idea?
Yes, I think so.
And then you pour it into a goblet.
It lights
and then
on fire.
Tony Hawk chugs it.
Yes, exactly.
So this is a movie where Wesley Snipes plays a U.S. Marshal who gets wrapped up with a bunch of skydivers to take down Gary Busey and his skydiving criminal gang.
Yes.
I fucking loved this.
Yeah, why not?
It's so fucking ridiculous, but this movie is a ton of fun.
Was this the first time you saw it?
First time I'd seen it.
Okay.
I'd never seen Drop Zone. And I was, you know, it was one of those, there it is on the video store shelf. See you later, Drop Zone.
This is my first Snipes.
Wow.
Oh, ever?
Yeah, this was the
Baby's
first one.
Baby's first Snipes?
Yeah.
Did you see it in theaters?
I did not. I rented it. It was the day when, like, I actually was waiting for the day. I'd seen the trailer on one of my tapes, and I was like, I gotta see that. when it was coming out, I was like, yes. And I was like one of the first ones there.
Yeah, Drop Zone. Yes. I mean, I can tell you right from the jump, I knew that this movie was all for me. This fucking electric guitar fart score.
Oh my God.
Man.
It doesn't even wait, man. It's over the Paramount logo.
It's like fart grunge, man.
It reminded me of like Lethal Weapon guitar.
Yeah. Of course it does. Yeah, I mean, this is Hans Zimmer. This is what he does. It's fucking cock rock. Like, it's all it is.
Cock rock. Yeah, so
now he's doing cock browns.
Yeah, that's colon rock.
Oh no, those planes are going to bomb us.
That's what it sounds like inside of you when you're about to fart.
Oh.
You discovered the wow. I was born in it.
Wow. Great thing. So we open up on a prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite extra work in a really long time. You check out these like bemulleted beefcakes. Holy shit, dude.
Is this a prison for like professional wrestlers? Is this where they go to cool their heels?
I think it was all pro wrestlers and then Michael Jeter.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into Michael Jeter in prison.
Oh,
this guy's
man.
Not lasted a day and a half.
No.
And he weighs 101 pounds.
Instantly,
and he looks like Dr. Wily.
He does look, oh man, had he lived, that would have been
great. That would have been great.
Who would play Mega Man?
We've gone through this so many times.
Yes. I think the answer you come back to is Elijah Wood.
Mm-hmm. He could still do it today.
He could
be like a Mega Man Knight Returns.
If he was having a harder time with his career, there would be one of those like Mortal Kombat fan film things. It would hit YouTube and it would be Elijah Wood playing Mega Man.
Yeah, I mean, he's like so small, he's 8-bit.
Yeah.
maybe 16.
He's just made out of blocks. Yeah. When you go up and you meet him, it's off-putting at first.
So Michael Jeter's in the yard, and all these dudes are going to like play basketball, workout, and he's running to feed these cats.
Yeah, I know, man. Like, you know what, Michael Jeter, like, again, you're not going to start lifting weights.
No.
Ask for protective custody, a number one.
Yeah.
Because he's in prison for like computer crimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, the Birdman of Alcatraz was played by Burt fucking Lancaster.
Yes.
Humongous fucking block of cement.
Yeah,
Burt
that guy,
Lancaster.
Man. I'm the Catman of this prison.
No way, dude. Burt Lancaster was built like a brick shithouse. Michael Jeter's a fucking single ply square of toilet paper in comparison.
But he's protected on high by the Prince of Darkness, the DEA.
Oh, I thought you meant Satan.
No, his crime is that he had been he's been hacking and taking money from like drug traders from China or some nonsense.
Which is a victimless crime.
I mean, honestly.
Well, who even, somebody says like when they're giving the rundown, they're like, it's like he lives inside the computer.
Yeah.
Which is just a great 1994-ism.
Because what they're saying there is like, this guy, he's such a whiz at the keyboard. It's like his home address is the computer.
Oh, nice.
Is the internet, dude.
Mm-hmm. Like, not if, that's like where he's got like a www dot instead of a P.O. box.
You know, we all get our physical mail. This guy's getting email. He's getting physical mail on the internet somehow.
Have you heard about this? Electronic mail? What is that? I mean, I get electricity out of the outlet.
I bring this up a lot, but this is making me think of that episode of Muppet Babies where they go inside Scooter's computer.
Oh, yeah?
What is it? What did they find something on that hard drive?
Oh, yeah. Scooter went down hard.
baby friends, you've got to get on the computer and get it out of there.
Come on, Nanny's going to get here any second. You got to wipe that shit clean. Got to eat all the data.
This hard drive's nothing but Muppet Babies. in odd positions. Anyway.
I think it's like a Tron parody is what they sort of go for. Yeah, not so much like, you know, pornography.
Yeah, just race over all of it.
So he's, I mean, look, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you're Michael Jeter in prison, I feel like Michael Jeter and I would have very similar paths in prison.
Yes.
And I do love cats. But I would pretend that I didn't love cats.
That's exactly right.
Think that's a good move.
Some dude would be like, hey, Steve, look at those cats over there. What are you going to fucking do about it? And you'd be like, nothing.
That was my belief, is that the DEA has been like replacing these cats as they've been stomped to death by his enemies on a weekly basis.
This is the thing, prison warden and whoever else, like prison groundskeeper. If there's like a little sewer drain where like cats are coming into the yard, you got to close that shit up.
Yeah.
Who knows what those maniacs could be doing to those animals.
Someone could be like feeding a cat a file and sending it through the tunnels where then a guy in prison could just like rip that cat open and take it out.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for this cat to pass this nail file.
Oh no, prison gangs could never do it. They would definitely do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please.
So you cut pretty quickly to Wesley Snipes,
yes,
by the way.
We're like 10 seconds into the movie. I love it.
And fucking Malcolm Jamal Warner, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he is on this tirade
about
women. Holy Mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
The Mongolian feminist.
Oh.
Which comes up twice.
Right.
It's your standard 90s feminist joke, Mad Libs feminist joke. It's like, oh, my ex-girlfriend who was say whatever you want, refrigerator salesman feminist. Like,
well,
oh,
what was the there was something recently.
Right,
was it in a Snipesgiving episode?
It was Saw. Punk vegan feminist, which is the three
punk
worst words.
But those two are like 10 years apart, man. That shit has to be pulled out by now.
Exactly. But I feel like you go on the right website, man. Oh, man, you see this whatever, this like liberal feminist?
Or this is always great. Feminazis.
Oh, the feminazis. Bah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be over here. Oh, the cat came back in the yard. I'm going to fuck it. I'm on to fuck the jailhouse cat.
We'll be back to fuck the cat on Infowars.com in a minute.
Michael Jeter, you watch. You watch me do this. And so they're driving down the road from the third act of Seven, by the way. Shit. I'm like, where are they going? There's no paved road. Like, they're driving to this jail, but it's not a paved road. They're driving under power lines.
Oh, my God, we got a box.
So, yeah, they're going off on this.
California, stay away from here. Wesley Snipes has the upper hand.
Wesley Snipes always has the upper hand.
Absolutely.
Dude. FYI, if there's anything I've learned from this month of Snipesgiving. So they're actually biological brothers who are also partners in the U.S. Marshals.
Bad idea.
Not good.
Yeah. Also impressive, though, at the same time, being able to get on your brother's detail. That's pretty cool.
That is insane.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
No, why would you ever allow this? Why would anybody allow
now
this?
Now both of them are compromised. Like, you've compromised two good agents.
So they're driving. He's complaining about his love life. Apparently, Malcolm Jamal Warner's wife is, like, obsessed with setting him up with friends or something
and
like that.
And he's going on this thing about how he could never date somebody named Shenandra and how he likes them as, he quotes, nice, pretty, and dull.
Wow.
Right.
I think he's trying to say, like, he likes leading a quiet life, which is a nice contrast for when he's forced to skydive multiple times later in the film.
Yeah, sure, and the Mongolian feminist would never allow it. So, yeah. Also talking about Oprah shit and like all that, but like, yeah, it's good that this is kind of the only banter really that we have to deal with.
Well, Malcolm Jamal Warner doesn't have a lot of screen time in this movie, unfortunately.
They go on a plane. They're going to
take Michael Jeter, and he's into cousin. Well, basically, someone shockingly tries to shiv Michael Jeter in the yard.
Yes.
And the guy is like, oh, fuck, I got to get this dude moved somewhere else because he's like this crucial witness or whatever. So Wesley Snipes and Malcolm Jamal Warner are tasked with taking him from Florida to Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
So this is like a quick, like, puddle jumper flight.
Yeah,
almost.
Sure.
And then things go terribly wrong because Gary Busey and his gang of thieves are aboard the plane.
Posse Comitatus? Excuse me.
What?
Pardon?
That's the name of their gang.
Oh, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh.
But it's a silly, really.
Is it like Latin or something?
Yeah. It's like they are some weird gang. No,
right.
Like
it's a division of Opus Dei.
they sent a message to
from the
pilots.
From the Vatican.
Anything you want, Your Eminence. Oh, I live to serve. Let me kiss your ring. Oh, come here, Grandmaster. Oh, wait, that's the wrong guy.
I'm also in the Klan. It's a busy schedule.
It's so hard to hate and love at the same time.
Oh,
so, yeah. They go in, and it's Gary Busey and a bunch of stuntmen. Pretty much.
Yeah. Owen Jagger.
Jagger looks a lot like Richard Branson.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh wow, yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. So they all just sort of like take various parts of the plane, and they're like, you know, pretending to be passengers. Gary Busey's like pretending to be a nervous flyer for some reason. It's like, don't even talk to the stewardess.
No, dude, he's fucking playing it cool, man. He's in character.
No, he needs to take his cocaine pills.
Yeah, that's
true. And so he's got to get ready for the big show. So which it then shows, you know, committing a terrorist attack on a plane.
Clearly, I'm not a terrorist. I'm wearing glasses and I'm a real nervous feller. Pardon me, ma'am. I'm not a terrorist. I'm clearly white.
Don't mind the sweat. I was just showering.
So they get in the air, and at some point, the plane gets word that it's being taken over.
Which, why would you do that?
I think it's all part of this, like, ultra game that Gary Busey's playing. Like, he's, like, 10 steps ahead of everybody kind of a thing.
For once.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, we're being hijacked. So they bring Wesley Snipes to the front of the plane like it's his birthday. And
he's 6 years old.
But there's this weird code that she has with him, because she's like, oh, would you like a glass of wine? And he's like, I only drink wine by candlelight. And she's like, I think we can make that happen. Come up front. And I'm like, is he going to get a blowjob in the
That's
front of the plane?
That's what he thinks.
Yes, uh-huh.
It's not a code. He thinks he's about to fuck this woman.
I'm with Kevin on this. There's no code, man.
I feel like that's what the Marshals get. It's like, all right, if you get into trouble, the stewardess will come up to you and say, stewardess of 1976.
You're going to remember this from your academy days?
Yes,
or
exactly.
They're not at a park bench with Gene Hackman. It's like, I mean, come on.
Well, you don't want to alarm anybody, so you need to have a code.
And he looks disappointed when she tells him.
Dude, I think it's, I mean, listen.
Looking disappointed when you find out that there's terrorists.
Oh, man.
Well, the flight attendant could just as easily go up, lean over, and be like, I need you to come to the front of the plane with me right now. Don't make a big deal out of it. Yeah. That's it. I'm definitely not blowing you. Don't get any ideas, goddammit.
Hands to yourself.
But he goes up and this guy's like, hey, listen to this message we got, U.S. Marshal. And Wesley Snipes is like, That's weird. And it's really, there's like no time for any information digestion or anything, because it's like, this is going to happen to your plane right now. And then like clockwork, Gary Busey whips out these guns that they have stowed away.
And it's a mid-90s horror, mid-90s action movie, and we are shooting people in the heart immediately.
It is fantastic.
God, what a breath of fresh air.
Shot in the heart.
That's right. No metal detectors.
So, you know, there's a big shootout going on. Tons of flight attendants and passengers are murdered instantly. Wesley Snipes doesn't go to the back of the plane right at the first sound of gunfire.
No.
Nope.
Knowing that Malcolm Jamal Warner is back there all by himself to
tend to
this.
He's got Michael Jeter to protect him, so he's okay.
Maybe he's his older brother, so he's just like, he looks up to him, so it's just like, oh, well, you know, my older brother can handle that.
No,
he can do anything.
And his brother's been marked because the little Michael Jeter's been saying very loudly, you U.S. Marshals! Hey, U.S. Marshals!
Yeah.
Hey, could you help? Can I go see my cats? I miss my cats, U.S. Marshals.
That's the big thing. So the cats are on the plane.
Oh, right.
The cats are in the belly of the plane. I don't think these cats are making it through.
No way.
Also, feline fatalities.
I wouldn't be too surprised if they were just lying to that man.
Actually,
there's a shot of the cats like being loaded on, but they should have just lied to him. Because, my God, these are like stray prison yard sewer cats. What are you doing? Like, oh, can I bring my cats? No, motherfucker, you're in prison. Come with me, please.
And he's going to go to another prison, right?
Yeah.
So you're taking prison cats to another prison?
That could be a dog prison that you're going to, though.
You never know.
Yeah.
You know, then it's just, oil and vinegar, man.
This is a movie, man. It's like Homeward Bound or some shit, but it's prison animals.
And those cats are...
They get sucked out to the side of the plane. They have to find their way back to Michael Jeter.
Exactly. They have to break into prison.
No, you know what happens when the door opens and everything is a loud pop, you get five little cat heart attacks, and that's the end of the little cats.
Posse Comiteus.
Quasimodo.
Is the common law or statute law authority of a county sheriff to conscribe any able-bodied man to assist him in keeping the peace or pursue an arrest? Or felon.
Oh, it's like rounding up a posse.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a fancy way of saying I have a gang.
It's old West.
If I was in that meeting, hey, Gary, how about sky bandits? We're like bandits of the sky.
Cloud surfers.
Easy. I could make a jacket with sky bandits.
Yeah, I'm not going to put all that Latin on a jacket. Because then everyone's asking me what it means.
That's drawing attention to us.
I'm not going
to
be able to walk through the store wearing that jacket. So they blow the door off the back of the plane, which was a little weird because I'm like, just open it.
Yes.
Well, it's an emergency door. The latch is right there. Why do you got to blow it off?
And now people
are not badass if you just open it.
We've got people getting sucked out the side of the plane.
Which is when I knew I was in for a good time. When I see these passengers being sucked out, chair and all.
Yes. Chair and all, dude. Still buckled
it's
in.
It's pretty awesome.
Passenger 58, 59, and 60 all get chucked right out.
It's fucking awesome. And a couple of dudes definitely like hanging on for dear life before they go. Also great.
They still die. Doesn't matter.
Malcolm Jamal Warner is next to a little girl who kind of gets sucked out the plane and he saves her. Is that what happens?
Correct.
Yes.
And
after being shot, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
He saves this girl, gets her back in, and then he stumbles out, and Wesley grabs him, but of course we know where this is going.
I thought his arm was going to get ripped off. I thought that's what we were going to do in this movie.
It was his sleeve, which was actually his arm.
I mean, that would have been kind of cool. I just don't see how that would happen.
But it's a lot of friction and force and what have you, right?
I guess so. As it turns out, I'm no physics professor.
No, I'm not. Not yet.
You're getting there. Night school. He falls to his grim death, which is unfortunate. And then this was weird, though. The plane kind of just straightened out and landed totally. Like, don't get a landing.
A normal landing. But actually, before that, Gary Busey they're trying to get Michael Jeter. They kidnap Michael Jeter, or it looks like kidnapping, and they're like putting him into a parachute, and they're going to do a tandem skydive.
Oh, God. I forgot.
And for some reason, he's got handcuffs on. To get him out of the handcuffs, the only thing they could do is for Gary Busey to bite his pinky finger off.
But there's motivation for this, though. Because
that's right.
But this is what doesn't make any sense.
I forgot to pack lunch. I'm starving up here. Oh, let me eat this airline food. Finger food.
Shortman, finger sandwiches.
I take things super literally.
Hey, Jagger, I'm a little hungry. I'm going to head over to Jeter's for a snack.
Well, the plane lands perfectly, but what we're told later, and this is what makes no sense, is they keep talking about like going through the remains of the passengers or whatever, and they find Michael Jeter's finger, and they then presume that this dude is dead.
Sure.
Here with this one severed finger burnt to a crisp. He must be completely dead.
But
no,
if the plane landed fine, what is burnt to a crisp?
Nothing.
Yeah,
you know
nothing.
What I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense, but the movie keeps saying, like, the remains, the remains, the remains.
The only remains you would have are the people who get sucked out of the plane.
Yes, the trickling of people, you know, that have been flying out for miles.
Yeah, and it's going to take a couple weeks to find those people.
Right. And plot point here, the little girl takes off the mask of Jagger, sees his face, and is now a witness.
It'd be great if the rest of this movie was kind of like that movie Ravenous, and it's like Gary Busey going crazy.
Oh,
and he's like,
because he swallowed some of the flesh?
Yes.
Well,
exactly.
I can tell you why that can't happen. Gary Busey would eat everybody before they ever, the whole fucking place.
Why can't that happen? Yeah, that would be the perfect movie.
Because what, then it's a Kafka play?
He's a
skydiving
cannibal, okay? He's a skydiving cannibal, and he eats people, and he jumps out of airplanes.
No. If Gary Busey was in Ravenous, and that's like, what, the Civil War?
Yeah, something like that.
So he would eat everybody in the camp.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd be like, oh no, he has the illness. He's a cannibal. You know, he's got that brain thing. And he'd be like, what are you guys talking about? I was just starving. Sick of eating beans. He just ate them.
Well, I just like that now he's like a skydiving instructor and he's like eating the people that he's in tandem with all the time.
Oh, you get a good like, you're like 20,000 feet in the air or whatever and you get a good like neck bite.
Yeah.
Dude, skydiving vampire?
That's perfect. That writes itself. And like, you know, your chute doesn't open, you turn into a bat.
Well,
uh-oh, gotta activate my failsafe. Better turn into a bat.
I like the idea of activating bat.
they did it, man.
They did.
According to folklore.
So there is the character with the greatest name in the movie, and this is coming from a film where there's a dude by the name of Scoop at one point.
Swoop.
Or Swoop, rather.
Please.
No, but this dude, he's like the fucking head of the U.S. Marshals and whatnot, and he goes up to Wesley Snipes, or he's trying to get access to him, and he's like, oh no, I work for the U.S. Marshals Office. It's me, Tom McCracken.
Oh, I didn't even get that.
Fucking Tom McCracken, come on, screenplay.
I don't know. Gary Busey's name, Ty Moncrief.
Oh yeah, we were having a little bit of it's like Jesse something or other. Like, there's a lot of fun names.
And Wesley Snipes' last name is what?
Nessip.
Which I learned from reading Roger Ebert's review is an anagram of Snipes.
Yes.
That's amazing. Do you think he didn't like whatever the name was in the script?
Just make him Wesley Snipes. I'm going to be calling him Wesley Snipes the entire movie, no matter what.
He just plays Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, exactly. That's
like this time he got into this scenario. Yeah.
Well, no,
but
it would be a thing, though, where in the credits, it's not as himself. It's Wesley Snipes as Wesley Snipes, marks.
Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty sweet, dude.
And I mean, I'm not going to ever remember the character name of like Jean-Claude Van Damme either. Like, this is widespread. Damme,
That's why it was really smart to have the Jackie Chan mysteries, and he was just Jackie Chan. Adventures or whatever the fuck that cartoon was.
I read that Snipes replaced Steven Seagal, and that is a trade up.
Of course it is. Wow.
Well, he had to drop out because they couldn't take off. So they're like, well, you're gonna have to,
See, this is why we need the rim shot again.
Yeah, exactly.
What is isn't Steven Seagal in Terminal Velocity?
No. That's
Oh, Executive Decision is what I'm thinking of. Yes. Never mind.
Terminal Velocity is a Stay Tuned and a Half.
As is Executive Decision. Actually.
It's Charlie Sheen and
Nastassia Kinski.
Oh,
and
right.
There's Christopher McDonald is the heavy, and James Gandolfini's in it for some reason.
There's a great line where they get to like whatever like Florida Keys swamp patio that Gary Busey's hideout is on. And Michael Jeter's complaining like, oh, you bit off my finger. Great Gary Busey line. Here he's like, you got 9 good ones. Fucking awesome. But to Michael Jeter's point, he's got Gary Busey here. This dude's profession is a fucking computer hacker, and he's like, how am I supposed to work?
That's my enter finger. That's what I do to hit enter.
Really? I never thought about it, actually. I would have to look.
What, really? The enter
I don't remember what I do. I sit down at a computer.
You get into a computer and black out.
I kind of do. I get to a computer. I look up. I've done stuff.
Sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
It's true. I never really thought about it, but I guess you're right. I'm sure you could work around that.
You probably could.
But like
it's still annoying.
Yeah, and Busey is nagging him this entire movie. Yeah. Sure. Every time he's trying to do work, he's over on his ass.
He keeps doing this. Well, because I think he's trying to put pressure on him for like the main event.
Yeah. Well, somehow while they were making this transfer, while they were on the boat, they must have made Jeter hack into the airline because they destroyed the manifest.
Yeah. Yeah, he does make mention of like, oh yeah, you don't need all your fingers because you hacked that airline thing with one hand.
That was the manifest destiny though, so.
You want that rim shot yet again? Yes,
like,
please.
You're just like hearing words and saying other things.
Exactly. That's my function.
You're going crazy.
I think so.
So Wesley Snipes is being blamed for the fiasco of the skies.
Yeah.
Him and his brother, and they're basically putting a lot of it on his brother, and obviously Wesley's not having it because his brother died a hero.
They said, shaming the dead.
That he caused everything or whatever. Yeah. Like he's the one that like made that explosive go off.
You know, I'm going to put a little bit of the onus on TSA on this one. Why the fuck are there guns on the plane?
Yeah.
That's never explained.
No. Yeah.
It's pre-9/11, dude. They actually handed you guns as you got on the plane.
And really that hidden away. It's behind a fucking tray table.
Yes. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Although, don't they make mention of, like, they did have someone at the airline assisting with that, with the gun part?
They killed some guy who was, like, planting the bombs underneath the plane or something.
The weird thing is they go on to like what's this positing, like, well, I think all these hijackers got off the plane. It's like, no, they're dead. Poppycock. It's like, what if they skydove off the plane? It's like, A, that's impossible because of the height, and B, how can you get a parachute on an airplane? But they have like AR-15s on this airplane, and no one has a problem with it, but the parachute is where everyone's like, no!
Look, you have a right to bring that rifle on an airplane, but you got no right to bring a parachute on an airplane, goddamn what?
I feel like you should be able to bring a parachute on an airplane.
Yeah, just like, you know, BYOP, man, like just in case.
Yeah. I mean, if it makes you feel comfortable on a fucking plane.
Exactly.
Is that what D.B. Cooper did? Because remember that case?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. That's the first skyjacking.
Right.
And
I don't
know. The world of tomorrow.
I don't remember if that chute was already on the plane or he probably brought it from home.
BYOP, man. I'm telling you. So what I find amazing is when Tom McCracken, or whatever this dude's name is, when Agent McCracken goes to Wesley Snipes' house to relieve him of his gun and badge, Wesley Snipes already has like a real in-depth investigation going on.
Yeah.
There's like file photos and like a fucking red string around all these tacks. But it's been, like, what, 24 hours?
He's very upset, you know? He's very
he's grief working?
Yeah. But the funny thing is, the McCracken's like, you know the rules. I need your badge. It's been a skyjacking. I need your badge and gun. Any air tragedy, I need that badge and the gun.
If this was something that had taken place on the high seas, I wouldn't even be here right now.
But your train, iffy area, there'd be a trial. But this...
There's a really weird it hit me and it was really strange. There's a moment in this where like Busey has an offline and he's saying 911.
Oh yeah.
But he says 911.
Yep, definitely does. He says it to Michael Jeter.
It really like took me out of it for a minute. I was like,
because
this is 94.
It's weird because what he's saying is like,
I'm just planning this for the big job, 911.
I think the context is something about like, well, like 911 wouldn't have got to you in time anyway or whatever. And he's like, 9/11 ain't going to help you now. And I was like, wait, what? Like,
wait,
I fucking rewound it. Yeah, and then I turned the subtitles on.
I got hired by Osama bin Laden.
Oh, no, Osama's really twisting my arm with this one. It's going
to
be big.
We're down here in Florida. I'm training these guys to fly. They don't know how to land.
Yeah, we should have invaded Jake Busey after 9/11. Not Iraq. It would be more logical to invade Jake Busey.
The Busey compound. Yes, of course.
Exactly.
So Wesley Snipes is officially off the case, which means he's fucking hardcore on the goddamn case because he's Wesley Snipes. And he goes to like some military training facility. And he's asking this, you know, sergeant or, you know, lieutenant or whatever about like ways in which like really pro military skydivers or paratroopers or whatever like do this shit. And the guy says to him like, there's like a pro who's like level headed, and then there's like a crazy fucker.
Dick brain.
Right. There's like the safe, measured way to do it, and then like the dick brain way to do it. Wesley Snipes is like, give me the dick brain.
And that of course is Jagger.
Yes, Jagger. And Jagger's ex-wife is played by Yancey Butler, who is Witchblade. But, ironically enough, in Gary Busey's team, there is a woman that looks exactly like her for no reason.
Kara. Yeah.
Very true. I spent half the movie confused. I'm like, she's playing both sides. What's happening?
No, exactly.
I didn't know her name until I watched it with subtitles. And I was like, oh, that's her name. Okay.
But I'll tell you what I think the deal is here. Because this other lady who's in the gang is what's-his-face's lady friend, Jagger's lady friend.
Sure. He's got a type.
Yes. I see.
Because Jagger and Yancey Butler used to be a thing.
It's very realistic. This movie's very realistic.
50 years ago, we did an episode on Steel, and we were calling this lady, not Yancey Butler, the other one who's in Steel as a heavy, we were calling her Witchblade, and I think in halfway through the episode, we're like, oh, it's not Witchblade. That's why, because they look exactly the same, and they're in the same movie.
Oh, shit. How about that? All these years later, we course correct.
It's just like Vertigo.
Oh, my God. Action movie Vertigo. That's what we're talking about. We're going to have to skydive.
Oh, no. I'm going to look at this painting in a museum and then jump out of a plane.
Her hair. Oh, my God. Her hair.
Oh, man. I'm going to punch this nun in the throat.
I'm going to wrap a lasso around that parachute.
Bring the moon down for it, That would be his... If Jimmy Stewart was in Mortal Kombat, that would be his fatality. He would bring down the moon and crush the other guy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like a guillotine.
I want...
Get ready to get fucked!
Classic Hollywood Mortal Kombat. That needs to happen.
Mortal Kombat!
Cary Grant's like shooting ice out of his hands. Looks like you need some cubes for that cocktail.
Yeah, then obviously Lon Chaney Jr. turns into the Wolfman. You know, like,
that's all
easy. Ida Lupino has her fucking fans out.
Errol Flynn gives you venereal diseases.
Or he uses a sword.
Well, no, he does. Oh, he does use until a sword. The finisher move, but his friendship is giving you VD.
Oh, I see.
With his flesh sword.
And then Peter Lorre takes off his mask and the reptile beneath.
God, this is great.
Who would be Shao Kahn of old Hollywood?
Humphrey Bogart.
Okay. No, Louis B. Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, Humphrey Bogart would be Goro. Like, it would just be like...
I was going to say Bogey would be Johnny Cage, man. The suavest of the bunch.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
Spencer Tracy as Baraka.
Man, I'm going to cut you up now.
David O. Selznick as Shang Tsung.
Oh, yeah. He will fucking steal your soul, man. Guaranteed.
You're under contract.
David O. Selznick's fatalities. He fucking makes Alfred Hitchcock fall on top of you and smother you.
The robots from The Day the Earth Stood Still as Cyrax.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My God. That's amazing.
It's all fitting together. I hope you're listening, Midway. There's $1 billion.
Him, it's an expansion pack.
Like it's him and like Robbie the Robot or whatever the fuck was that? Forbidden Planet?
Or the Maid Bot from Rocky IV.
Oh, shit. Oh, wait, no. What was the robot from Lost in Space? Was that Robbie the Robot?
Maybe, yeah. I think I'm confusing it with that Leslie Nielsen movie. That space movie.
Short Circuit, which John Badham actually directed.
He definitely did.
That's not classic Hollywood. Short Circuit's not classic Hollywood.
Oh, don't you tell me that it's not classic.
All right, here it is.
The Golden Age.
Oh, sure.
All right, maybe I'm off, though, because I was thinking maybe Orson Welles.
Oh, sure, he's there.
He's classic.
He's Goro, because he weighs as much as a horse.
I got it, by the way. the robot from Metropolis.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there it is. C-3PO.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Where are we in this movie? Oh, so Wesley Snipes, what's that cabin?
Wesley Snipes, yes. Goes to, he makes this girl cry. The girl who saw Jagger, witness, but this is only important in the net as far as the next scene goes, because it cuts to Gary Busey, who gets a call from a corrupt cop who is like following Snipes.
Most obvious corrupt cop, by the way, because it's like, here are three detectives from the Miami Police Department, and it's like two suits and then a guy with a fucking skullet that's tied into a ponytail. Which one is crooked? Just guess.
Out of fucking Miami Vice, this guy.
Oh my God, this guy smells like cocaine.
It's like Dan Castanella if he was a drug dealer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nope, not trusting him.
Yeah, I'm not buying coke from that guy.
Yes, so this absolute piece of shit,
oh man,
he calls Gary Busey.
Yes.
And he's like, they made Jagger, the little girl made Jagger, and like Gary Busey says, I'm impressed, and the guy's like, oh, thank you very much, and he's like, not with you, with Wesley Snipes, because he questioned a witness. That's just brilliant. That's just insane.
Wow, my mind's really blown. This guy's doing his job.
Holy shit.
That's the problem, is Wesley and Ty Moncrief never really meet. They don't cross swords until the end of the movie.
Right.
Like, it should be a game of cat and mouse.
Yes.
We're two sides of the same coin, you and I.
Well, yeah, he needs a phone call. He needs to, taunt him. Exactly. I need a couple, John Malkovich calls, man. Mm. Going again. Back to him.
Why are you calling me on Christmas? I think it's because you got no one else to call.
Oh, it's Wesley Snipes at a printing press.
Sorry to tell you this, Wesley Snipes. Your father's dead. He fell down the stairs of Grand Central and broke his neck.
So he winds up, he meets Nancy Butler. He goes to her skydiving ranch. And I've been to a few skydiving ranches.
Oh, really?
Are they called ranches?
Yeah, well, the ones that I wore, they got horses, right? Yeah, the horses skydive too. No, it's a ranch. And, you know, you go and you're bored all day because you're a little kid. I almost stepped on somebody's parachute once, and this big fat guy was going to cut my throat. Like, it was like, literally like, it was a matter
of
life.
Got in your face?
Yeah, he did. It was a matter of life and death. Like, hey, kid! You never walk anywhere near someone's parachute.
Man, I mean, I get it, but man.
That's when you started sabotaging parachutes.
So I put a bunch of spoons in there instead.
Four spoons and a can opener. Boy, I'm fucked.
You killed a lot of people that day.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a head of broccoli?
But this reminded me of it because it is like that kind of scuzzy skydiving ranch. Everybody's only talking about skydiving.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And they're degenerates.
Really?
Yeah.
The ones that I dealt with.
I'm sure there's like some nice skydivers.
Oh,
but
sure.
It doesn't shock me at all to hear that there's dirt bags in the sky jumping back down to the ground where the dirt is to be put in other bags.
Circle of life.
So they... he like hits it off with Nancy Butler, and we're in a classic Wesley Snipes 90s situation where this should be a romantic relationship, and it's not because it's a white woman, and everyone goes, ew, which makes no sense. If that's the case, then hire a black actress. Like, if we can't do either.
Yeah,
like, we're
God
damned
forbid.
If we do, and we're damned if we don't. Like, we can't have two black people in it as leads, so we can't have like any kind of romantic tension. And yeah, it's fine to have an action heroine that's not like the main guy's girlfriend, but this movie like goes right up against it.
It's right there. And it's like, you know, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, cowards!
Do we think that they rewrote, like, because it was Seagal, and if you're trying to tell me Seagal's not fucking the female lead in this movie, you are kidding me.
Exactly. No, he's going to get his fucking buttery paws all over this person.
No, I feel it was a real conversation. They must have cut it out of the movie. Like, there must have been a really sleazy sex scene that was cut out of the movie, which is probably for the best, but it's also uncomfortable when you watch it.
Because, oh man, and you know what? You're totally right, because this is the exact kind of movie, right? Like, you rent with your uncle or you rent with your dad or whatever, and you're just sitting down and it's just a fucking skydiving crime movie.
Yes.
And then out of nowhere, there's fucking an ice cube on a tit.
Yes.
And you're like, wait, what is happening? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's just a fucking sex scene.
This is your fault for watching a Tony Scott movie with any male relative.
But no, you're exactly right. It's one of those movies where it's like a left turn sex scene. And again, it's better that it doesn't, but not really.
I mean, especially the end of the movie, when he saves the day and he's like, he's totally fine, but on a stretcher.
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment, she's like right up next to him, and like, that's where it happens.
Well, she's really close. She's like, I'm so glad you made it. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we'll talk about this later once the credits start rolling.
It's nice being your platonic friend. Mm-hmm. Thanks for everything.
Well, that is the problem, is that in lieu of that, what we have to deal with is like an awful truth situation where they're just kind of bickering at each other the whole time.
Oh, I thought you meant that Michael Moore show, but you're talking about the classic Hollywood film, The Awful Truth.
The Leo McCrary movie.
Yes.
The whole time they're just bickering at each other because he's... Skydiving apparently is a very, very secretive club. It's like the fucking, the Masons.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I don't know, just pay the $180 and go skydive. Now you're a skydiver. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there it is.
Yep, that's it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, I can't believe all these secret skydiving societies right here in my hometown of Flint, Michigan. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
They got a lot of weird language going on when he goes to the skydiving bar that is playing a skydiving TV show that apparently goes up every fucking day.
It's like SNN, like Skydiving News Network. It's like, what?
In other news today, we had some more people having some good jumps. And that's all for this evening. Cowabunga and good night.
Here's today's daily montage of first-time jumpers jumping to Tom Petty's Free Fallin'. we just got news. The president has been shot. It was not skydiving related. I hate to break in here.
That was one of the hardest days of my broadcasting career on SNN was when someone took a shot at Reagan, and I had to break the news to literally only the skydiving community about this tragic turn of events.
Jumps will be suspended for 24 hours.
We're now hearing that the shooter wasn't a skydiver either. So that's good. That's good.
Conflicting reports that John Hinckley was an average skydiver. I'd like to correct that. That is a false statement.
For the next week, we're going to be doing skydiving at half mast, and that would mean you fly the plane only half the way.
It's incredibly dangerous, but also very respectful at the same time.
Yes, the classic memorial jump of silence. There will be exactly zero wahoos when leaving the plane.
The plane will be painted all black.
Yeah, dude, it's all black parachutes.
That's funny.
That also happens when they lose someone in the community.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's the rallying cry? I have it here. Blue sky, black death.
Oh God, yikes. Is that what they say?
When Jagger bites it, they do a round of it.
Oh, they're so Gary Busey is tipped off by that skullet dude that Jagger fucked it up. So they're doing a practice jump with Michael Jeter, and then they go up, and Gary Busey's like, "Hey, let me come with you this time."
Yeah,
and he like. He's like sitting on this dude's parachute, like weighing him down. And the guy's like, "Oh, come on, Gary Busey, stop it." He's like, "Oh, no, I think I'm comfy right here." And he somehow manages
to be so comfortable with your skydiving ability to do this.
Exactly. Yeah. This is amazing. And he's like, "All right, I'm just going to twist my butt cheeks this way, and it's going to make you fly into this power grid." And this
squeaky, squeaky.
This dude just gets fucking cooked up, man.
There's easier ways to kill somebody and dispose of a body. Like, this guy's found by the cops immediately. Like,
immediately.
You know,
well, they plant some coke on him.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So they basically say that this dude was like, running some drugs. By the way, what a fun way to be a drug runner.
Absolutely.
But let me take you back to the jump itself where Jagger and this not Yancey Butler are footseeing.
Yeah.
Like playing footsies in the air. Like he's playing
sky fucking.
But okay, so this is suggesting that they had some kind of relationship. Like,
what? Yeah, we're told flat out that that was his girlfriend.
And so he killed. They make a big deal about people dying later in this movie. Yeah. And like he killed him right in front of her.
Well, because listen,
she kind of knows. She's like,
Gary Busey's the boss of everything.
Yes.
And when he lands, he's like, woohoo, that was fun.
Now we have a skydiving team of four, and that's all right with me.
I didn't say sorry. I'm not going to say I'm sorry.
No, guaranteed. It's like, if you want in on this fucking heist, man, put up or shut up, and Jagger was fucking it up.
So at the skydiving bar, Yancy Butler finds out that Jagger dies. She's very distraught. And like they work out this sort of tacit deal wherein Wesley Snipes is like, I will sponsor your skydiving team.
$15,000 for this scheme, by the way.
To get into this, like, we'll get into this memorial jump that's happening in Washington, D.C., which also, right. by the way, looks exactly like Florida. And
huh.
yeah.
How can that be?
And you will get me close to Jagger's people and his team.
Right now. And I guess it's like the getting close part is really the only excuse for Wesley Snipes to have anything to do with skydiving in this movie.
Exactly.
Like, sponsor the team, fine. And then maybe you're like pretending to be the pilot, or you're like Grace Zabriskie's co-pilot, right? Like she's like mama skydive team for this company or whatever. Yeah. And she's just flying the plane.
Maybe he's somebody's boyfriend that's just along for the ride.
He's just there. This is Dale.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a relationship with Dark Angel here. Or, what? Not Dark Angel.
Witchblade.
Witchblade.
By the way, speaking of Grace, it's interesting that in the holy month of Snipesgiving, we've gotten both Leland Palmer and
Sarah Palmer. And Sarah Palmer. That's right. Love it. And then we got some Chris Mulkey.
Right,
so that's at least
right.
three Twin Peaks actors.
And may I bring you to the name of this beautiful plane, the Crazy Flamingo.
Yes, and actually Alan Alda is Judy. In every movie there's a connection.
Yeah, I am this evil force that's going to take over everything.
Damn the atomic bomb.
Yep,
this is the water.
Time.
This is the well.
Boy, I'm tired.
It's not a big deal.
So there's a fucking crazy ass thing that happens. Wesley Snipes is like trying to talk to Yancy Butler about this whole thing. I want to mention this. We're ahead of it a little bit, but it's a fucking dick move and a half.
Sure.
He goes up in the plane to like continue talking
to
her. She's like teaching this skydiving class and whatnot. And he's like sitting on the plane. He's the last to go. And not wearing a parachute, he's just in the plane. She fucking has some like Mr. Burns-esque like platform fall.
It's the drop zone.
Yeah. And she,
I don't know.
She just like surprise drops Wesley Snipes out of this plane. Listen, if that was me, instant heart attack.
Oh yeah, like 17 of them instantly.
And it's crazy because he's falling and she's like, ha ha ha. And Grace Zabriskie turns around very casually and is like, will you go get him, please? And then this woman's like, okay, and just jumps out of this plane. Like, at no point is anyone in this movie doing the amount of pants shitting that you would be required to do in these situations.
As we'll talk about later with how Skelly, his graceful plummet to the ground.
Martin Shkreli?
Everybody is immortal in this movie.
You mean Swoop?
No, Skelly, the young guy.
Oh,
Parker
right.
Lewis.
Yeah, Parker Lewis.
Oh, is that
who
Parker
can
Lewis?
Lose in this
yeah, apparently.
Movie.
He just barely doesn't lose,
yes,
though.
I mean, he's an immortal, yeah. Like, clearly.
That should have been a fucking Wile E. Coyote gag.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Like, that should... But, and she goes, she gets him, and he's like, oh, you're crazy. And then, like, apparently in the original draft, or one of the original drafts, her character was a man, and Wesley Snipes punches that man, or Wesley Snipes' character punches the man. Mm-hmm. And then when they got to filming it, they're like, oh, whoops, we left this in. And then, like, Yancy Butler's like, no, I want that to happen because that's, like, a funny thing to happen. So, sure enough, Wesley Snipes just punches her right in the face, and she's like, you know, yeah, whatever.
It's kind of great, though, because he punches her in the face, she falls over, and just starts laughing at him.
Oh, yeah, man.
Pretty badass. So we're still at this bar. Another amazing thing that happens right here is so they get this dude Swoop involved, and he's like this crazy fucker that's constantly in pajamas.
It's like Ted Kaczynski if he was a skydiver.
This guy kind of looks like, what was the name of that dude from Dead Man on Campus?
Oh,
Lachlan Monroe. He kind of looks like Lachlan Monroe with like a D.B. Sweeney, the actor thing going on.
Yeah, okay.
D.B. Sweeney's the one I always think of with this guy.
So they're like practicing for something, and he messes with this dude. Oh, man, I forget what it is. There's something that happens where this guy like jumps on this dude while they're skydiving.
Well, so what happens is basically, and this is the thing that kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. So like, there's this big jump at DC, and that this is our team. It's Wesley Snipes, Yancey Butler, this kid played by Corin Nemec, the bald guy from Cliffhanger.
Oh God, yeah, that's where that dude's from.
And
Bob.
And this guy, I thought he was like a Northern Exposure or some shit.
he also might have double dipped. And
he played the moose.
And what's his face? And this guy Swoop. And for some reason, because Gary Busey's whole plan takes place on Memorial Day, he needs to get his team in there. So like, they're there and they're not keeping a low profile. Like they want to get on the jump, but what they're also doing is fucking with people. So like, one of the guys fucks with Corin Nemec. This blonde guy fucks with Corin Nemec and opens his parachute on the ground. And he goes flying, and it's like humiliating. So to get him back, Swoop is willing to risk everyone's life.
Yeah,
and he does what's called a gift wrap.
Yeah. There's a dude. There's like a dude on the ground, like one of the judges, and he's looking up. He goes, "Quote." Looks like a gift wrap.
Yeah, like this happens all of the time.
All this lingo. It's like constant. It's amazing.
Dude, we are getting a front row seat to a world we know nothing about.
Because there's two parachutes in every parachute. It's right. The regular one and the emergency one. So Swoop unhitches his regular one in front of this guy and wraps him up, which could kill him and Swoop.
Easily.
And also, like, the reason you have that emergency parachute, Swoop, is just giving you a better chance at not dying. So, like, to just get rid of that, get rid of the regular one?
Well, dude, I mean, you have, like, no regard for your life if you're doing this every day.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you're just living in that moment. And in that moment, he was like, hey, man, gift wrap time.
Ladies, see what happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am so sorry to announce Swoop has been killed.
we all know Swoop was a fan favorite amongst all of us here at SNN. Rest in peace.
He tried to light his fart on fire, which I believe is called a cannonball, in midair, and it just lit his whole parachute up, and he plummeted to his
death. He leaves his underwear to his cat.
We're all going to wear pajamas to honor him.
And as would have to be the case with any of these skydiving junkies, he leaves behind no next of kin.
But he was gnarly.
Cowabunga, and good night.
So for revenge, Swoop goes to take a leak, and this dude from Gary Busey's gang barges into the bathroom and starts beating the shit out of him.
Which is like... Again, keep your note. You're about to pull a job, by the way, to steal all the DEA agents' identities. We're doing like a Mission Impossible kind of a thing.
Can I tell you something I love about this?
Sure.
The villain, the big guy who like wants all this information, is like an old white banker dude.
Yeah.
Like he's just like an old asshole.
Is it because he's like concerned about like heat coming down on him from like, the DEA?
He clearly like launders the money or something to that effect. Like he's a big deal guy
but
up there.
It's like a Netflix service that's very expensive because like... I'll give you the list, and every month it'll update for $2 million.
Murder season 2.
Oh, you want Stranger Things season 3, huh?
$3 million. 3 million simoleons.
Smackaroos.
So this other dude on the team that starts the fight looks like he could be a fucking terrorist from Die Hard.
Oh, absolutely.
This guy's like 7 feet tall, blonde as the day is long.
And then, it's some fat guy and then this other shorter guy, and like Wesley Snipes comes in, and we finally get some Wesley Snipes karateing, which is awesome.
Oh my God, he fucking lays waste to these dudes.
It's fantastic.
Oh man, he just beats, and it's like a close quarters bathroom fight. It's fucking totally awesome.
It goes on forever, and I'm loving it.
I like the blonde haired guy and the guy who he kicks in the balls in front of the place.
Yeah.
Like that's funny. I kind of feel bad for like the 63-year-old truck driver.
Yeah.
That guy.
But he's also an asshole. He's like, hey, motherfucker. And
he's trying to get wrecked.
It is so awesome. He destroys stalls. Wesley Snipes throws these people through stalls.
This bathroom is out of order.
Yeah.
And not because the toilet was clogged, but because it was broken in half.
I think
it's fucking
he's
awesome.
One of the big villains in Justified.
Who, the fat guy?
Yeah, the big fat guy with the beard. He's one of the big dealers.
I think you're right.
He's the marijuana guy. He's the weed guy. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's been
in
like everything.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Because he looks like that.
Right. Totally.
I need a scumbag.
1-900 scumbag, dude. There it is.
You get M.M. at Walsh this weekend.
No, this movie couldn't afford M.M. at Walsh.
Look, I wish ZZ Top could act. And then someone's like, well, you know, we got a guy.
And we could clone him.
He's kind of fatter than anybody in ZZ Top. This dude is great, though, because you always get this dude. It's like a staple member of these kinds of gangs. It's the guy who doesn't participate in the thing, but he's like driving the car. He keeps the hideout clean.
Mm-hmm. He's making eggs in the beginning.
He totally is, dude, crying over them like George Sunza. It's such a sad scene to make fun of, but George Sunza crying over scrambled eggs is great.
It's a cathartic moment in that film.
He's sad.
And so they beat the shit out of everybody, and then like everyone's on to sort of Wesley Snipes at this point. And the way that they still have to get back at this team, which doesn't make any sense.
So it's like pranking the camp across the lake, dude. You need fucking revenge.
So they're like, okay, let's cut open Yancy Butler's parachute. That way they won't be able to do the jump because she's the leader.
Right.
On one of like the qualifying jumps. And at this point... Corin Nemec is like the whiny, like younger brother type for some reason.
Yeah, he's like been a part of this ranch the least amount of time, kind of a thing.
So she's like, you know, and he's whining about something. And she's like, you know what, dude, why don't you take my parachute? And he's like, okay, thanks. And he takes it, and whoops, it doesn't open.
Yeah, so this dude, like, it's another crazy ass, like, go get him.
Yes.
And like, Swoop is just
they're
fucking
having full on conversations in the air, which I don't know how you can.
Is that possible?
I don't think
it's wild.
He would have
man.
To have supervision, like actually be able to look at what other people are like signaling.
And I know like it's possible to do all this shit. So, you know, save that fucking tweet. But I just want like my surprise in all this is like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking terrifying. And it's something that I love about this movie. All the aerial shit is so awesome.
It's pretty practical.
It's really, really great. And I'm just constantly marveling at it.
Because we're cutting between, like, just green screen people, like, in a parachute. Like, that's the conversational scenes. But then, like, all the stunts are, like, real stunts.
Yeah, and those are the people actually falling. And
yes.
They don't look like they can talk.
No, exactly.
We should call your father right now to get some input on this.
Those shots of Gary Busey, he looks like he's, like, getting into a Lazy Boy. Like, he is comfortable in these aerial shots.
And you see him, like, he's pulling the different things. Things to turn and whatnot. Yeah. And he's just like left, right, left. Oh, this is so relaxing.
What's this? I'm in a hot air balloon. So the scene takes place in a hot air balloon.
Skydiving, what's that? Is that like a motorcycle for the sky?
Corin Nemec thing doesn't open. Swoop sort of saves him.
No, he doesn't. He's dead. This kid is fucking dead.
Kid should, and maybe I'm mixing it up with another skydiving movie. I remember him, somebody like bounces. And I was like, oh, this is when Corin Nemec like bounces.
There is something where someone bounces. Yeah. I remember seeing a bouncing corpse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what? Now that's ringing a bell.
Yeah.
What fuck.
Movie, and like they're all like dusty and like totally dead. And I thought that was this movie.
Fuck,
but it's not.
Oh, balls.
It wouldn't be Top Gun.
No, it might be Terminal Velocity, but I don't know if you guys saw that.
I haven't seen Terminal Velocity, but I feel like I know what you're talking about.
I forgot it as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, I'm in that camp.
But like, so he lands in a lake, and like Yancy Butler does, and she's actually good in this movie. She's not to say actually, like, she's good in this movie. She's very upset. She gives him CPR and saves his life. The kid should be dead. Like, let's get some stakes going.
Parker Lewis cannot lose. It's right there.
Yeah, you're right.
But he has to lose. I'm sorry. He has to lose here.
Was that the series finale, actually? He lost when, like, the Coob fucking wrecked his car and Parker Lewis was
killed. Alec Baldwin took him out back, and that was it.
Everyone's number comes up. He plays chess with the devil.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there, yeah.
I never saw that show. Am I missing anything?
No.
No, not at all.
It's like a fake Ferris Bueller.
I think it's on Hulu now or something.
Oh, fuck, Jesus. Get out of here, really? Maybe. Tune in. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean...
After I just told Eric not to bother with it, I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out again.
Got some water programming to do.
Well, there's always that, Chris Cabin.
So, but like, I feel like this smells of test audiences saying,
yeah,
we don't like him dying. We like him. Don't kill him.
It's a likable enough character, yeah, but come on.
Somebody has to die.
Come on.
I'm sorry, this needs a bigger body count.
They need to show the real-world consequences of skydiving that's not related to DEA-related heists.
Yes.
Cops and fucking security guards are getting gunned down and their throats slit by the dozen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hilariously, in the middle of this, like after one death, Gary Busey says, we can't kill a cop. They smell dead cops. We'll be run out of here. And of course, he's killed like 20 of them by the end of this.
Well, yeah, because but to your point, yes, like that should happen. We do cut to, and also, by the way, after this horrific accident and all the fucking horseplay that goes on, either A, both of these teams are disqualified, or B, the whole jump is fucking...
And the horseplay, you mean when they shove that horse out of the plane, because now they're skydiving with a horse.
I don't know about this, Dustin Hoffman. Seems like a bad idea.
And now we have an expose to get you skydivers back on the right track. We cannot shove horses out of airplanes, people.
This just in, some happy news to report for once here on SNN. Corin Nemec will survive the horrendous fall he had earlier today at the trials. He will make it. It's incredibly unbelievable.
He was the result of an oopsie daisy. That's what we call it when the parachutes don't open. He did survive. We're rare survival from an oopsie daisy.
It's also technically a whoopsie doodle, which is when an immortal plummets to Earth.
But we do, but so this jump should be canceled, but it's not. But we do get, there's two break-ins. The break-in at the end, there's one in the middle that has some consequence.
Well, there's a fucked up thing where it's like this dude who's hiring Gary Busey to do this stuff.
Yeah.
Or rather, Gary Busey's like, you should give us this job, motherfucker.
The handler, the middleman. Yeah.
And so the guy's like, Gary Busey says like, all right, we'll do this. We'll do the first job for free.
Oh, okay.
So you can see how awesome it is. So this is where they like break into this. It's the DA's like evidence chamber or whatever.
Because
they're stealing a bunch of coke. But in the process, one man who's just innocently watching Jeopardy gets his throat slit.
I know. Yeah. That's so sad.
And then the guy working in like the fucking evidence locker is just shot through the heart by the not Yancey Butler lady.
And then, which one? Because they're getting like all of Miami's undercover agents or whatever.
Yeah.
Through the same process. And it's amazing because Gary Busey is like pacing around this office while Michael Jeter's doing this hacking. He's like, can I help? Can I help?
What can I do right now?
But it's more than...
Is my hot breath helping you out or not?
You better hurry up. Better hurry up. We gotta get out of here. The coke's gonna spoil.
You let me know when you need a capital letter and I'll press the shift.
My horse breath making your neck sweat or what?
I got all these discs for Minesweeper. You need any of them? I brought all the computer stuff I know. I got it all right here, man.
There's another kind of like, this is great, actually. There's another like much more minor break-in, like right before this. Yancey Butler breaks in to like, I guess it's like the FAA's investigation garage or something.
The death parachute for Jagger.
Right. And so she's checking it out or whatever. And Wesley Snipes like follows her into this garage. By the way, did you guys notice in the background, there's an abandoned truck rig that just has fucking Bud Dry on it.
Oh, really?
When you want Budweiser that somehow tastes even worse, Bud Dry.
What was it? Bud Ice had more alcohol in it. It was like malt liquor practically. What was Bud Dry? What was the point?
I think it's the street trash stuff, man.
They advertised it, Bud Dry, as having no aftertaste. So
it's
like Budweiser that doesn't taste like anything.
It's Budweiser that you won't regret drinking because you won't have any. That disgusting Budweiser aftertaste.
As your life has become a void, why not drink a void with Bud Dry?
Keep up the best part of drinking, getting dehydrated.
You stare into the abyss and sometimes it stares back into you. That's Bud Dry.
Hulu hala, see you in oblivion.
The only beer you can drink while playing chess with the Grim Reaper, Bud Dry.
The Reaper drinks it.
If it's good enough for the Reaper, it's good enough for me.
So they, this is when they find out that the parachute they were using had a special kind of nylon, which goes nowhere, but I just like the term smuggler's rig.
It's a smuggler's rig, dude. It's another bit of fucking goddamn skyjacker jargon.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great Clapton song.
And it's got to be like 12 minutes long.
Oh, so much noodling.
Yeah, no, that's more of a cream. That's a cream tune, actually. More. Sure.
You ever fucking take a toke in the ninth minute of Smuggler's Rig, man? You know when the fucking guitar really hits it?
All right. Everybody strap in for the Smuggler's Ring outro.
Oh, my God. Baker's doing it with that solo.
Oh, drum away, man. Drum me right into the sky.
Pummel that bass, brother.
I got my Smuggler's Rig ready.
I would love that song.
8 minutes. 6 left to go.
The intro's over.
The song is a side and a half on the vinyl, baby. You gotta flip in the middle.
Oh, man, that would be annoying. Flip in the middle.
So, yeah, it's the big night of the big jump, and Yancy Butler is furious with Gary Busey for this, so she wants to kill him, and the best way to do that is to take a gun on a plane and wait for it to take off and then confront everyone in the air?
Sure.
Yeah.
Question mark, why?
Because of the rush. Just because you're out for revenge doesn't mean you can't also have the rush, man.
That's a good point. But the best part about it's my favorite line in the whole movie, it's my favorite Gary Buseyism of the movie, is like she confronts everybody right when they're about to break into the DA thing. And Gary Busey, he's like, oh, shit. It's Jagger's girl. And then he looks at the girl, Kara, and he's like, this is his girlfriend now. He meant nothing to you. It's just like this, like, oh no, you meant nothing to him. It's just like this,
oh,
great,
it's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. Which, and then he just throws her out of a plane, because like, obviously you would. There's an open door.
Now, isn't this where she fakes killing herself?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. She does.
She perfectly jumps down enough to get, like, it's a helicopter.
Yes.
Dude, it is fucking horseshit. I couldn't even believe it. Like, I'm watching this for the first time, and I was like, all right, she's. Everyone's got a secret shoot in this movie,
yeah,
so that's
exactly
just what happened, another secret shooting.
Why wouldn't you have a secret shoot in this scenario?
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess she's just, like, that confident that this Marty McFly fake Back to the Future 2 suicide is going to work.
I thought this was, like, a De Niro in 15 minutes thing. I thought she just killed herself.
He doesn't kill himself.
No, he just gets
movie.
Shot. I mean, you kill off, like, the second lead of the movie.
He gets fucking stabbed repeatedly on film in that movie. Stay the fuck tuned for that.
That fucking,
Did we see that in theaters together?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, it was a bad afternoon.
Bad idea.
She's holding on to this bar, which seems impossible to do for anyone for more than like 3 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
Like 3-4 tops, but like it's 20 minutes. Everybody jumps out because they think she's gone. And then Wesley Snipes is going after her with their team. And that's when they see her. And then like she sees them and they kind of do a reverse of the beginning of the movie where she jumps and then Wesley Snipes catches her.
Yeah, and he has, I mean, this is a fucking crock of shit because he's just like, he sees her, like she drops and he, well, no, he goes first and he's like, this is the only trick I know. And I was like, no, please let Swoop handle this.
Exactly. Yes.
Please.
Swoop
please.
And fucking maybe on Northern Exposure are both in the airplane.
Yeah. This is your third jump. Are you sure you're ready to save
something
people?
Tells me, dude, you have not logged enough hours for a fucking mid-air rescue.
And Swoop has clearly already made his peace with God. Like,
years ago.
Every day, he's ready for it.
Me and the Lord don't talk no more.
And maybe it's the New York thing, but you're only, you have to like jump like 10 times tandem to before you can even jump with like a solo. You're not just like just
is that
up.
Right?
Oh yeah, man.
Well, this is what, Florida?
They got
freedom down there.
Oh man, in Florida, here's how it works, dude. Your first 10 jumps, you're fucking tandem with a gator. Then after that, you can jump solo, but no gatorless jumps before you hit the big 1-0.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you got to get into double digits.
Another gator-related fatality in the sky.
You know, sometimes I wish a week could go by here on SNN without a gator-related tandem fatality.
Seems like all I do these days on the airwaves is report grim death.
And then cut over to GNN Gator News Network. We got another one! Oh, yeah! Put it on the big board! Bertha ate him up.
Dude, if there was a fucking thing, and I don't even care if it was a puppet, if it was a gator puppet reporting news, I would finally be in for the 24-hour news cycle.
Now 10 minutes with our Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band, the Freebirds. Just footage of gators.
Which network is that on?
So he does save her, and then they both land on top of the DEA building. Not only does he save her, but he also lands perfectly on top of the DEA building.
It's amazing. I mean, I think this guy, just with like the hours logged, he might be the greatest skydiver of all time.
Yeah. I mean, he's the chosen one.
He's the fucking Neo of skydiving.
He's going to need a few days in the hot tub after this, though, because he lands on this thing with his back and it's pebbles and how.
He's going to be needing a few days in the hot tub because hopefully he's having fucking sexual intercourse with this woman afterwards.
Yeah, you never know.
As long as it's off screen, you can imagine whatever you like.
Yeah, I choose to believe they rode off into the sunset together.
It's nice. I like that, great. Too.
Just doing jumps every fucking ding-dong
romantic
day,
jumps.
Man. Oh, romantic jumps, totally. Sky fucking the whole thing.
You gotta get married. You get married in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, does anyone sky fucked, or is that just, you know, legends?
I'm sure they have.
I think I've seen footage of sky wedding type things.
Well, yeah.
Wait, you're sure they have, Chris? Are we talking about penetration? Like, that's gotta be hard to line up.
The 80s in porno, it was like underground New York 70s experimental. They were doing everything. Well, you got a fucking gimmick, we'll do it.
I mean, if you were tandem jumping in the nude, I feel like...
Oh, okay. Now I see, like, you start out like you're already, like, interlocked.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. You're not doing that mid-air.
You can
have two parachutes meeting up with each other.
You know what I'm saying?
I've learned what you're saying. I've gleaned
And
the
actually,
cube.
You might all of that might have to be in the suit. Uh-huh. So you have to be in one
like
singular
a big
suit.
Like a giant fucking trash bag.
All right, some great news to report today in the world of skydiving adult entertainment. Two of our greatest legends were finally filmed successfully having intercourse inside a hefty force flex.
This is skydiving after midnight. Get ready for the best sky fucking.
Oh, dude, man, like the skydiving messiah is like born in the sky, like conceived in the sky. God.
That's Wesley Snipes' backstory. He doesn't even know it.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's the chosen one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
He's like a golden child. Like,
yeah, he's got like a weird birthmark on his back of a big parachute. He never knew what that meant.
It's a map to dry land, dude. It's a map to a city in the sky.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're landing on this DEA building. This is great. There's way too much security guards watching television in this movie. Because the guy who gets his throat cut is watching Jeopardy. And they're asking for like the name of the actor who played the kid in like the Charlie Chaplin films. And this dude knows it and he's screaming at the TV, throat cut. Then we get to these other doofuses who are watching Star Trek.
Yes.
But my favorite security officer is the woman who's like patrolling the halls.
Sandwich lady.
Dude, she is this woman is like, they're talking about like, oh, someone's burning something in the kitchen. The alarm's going off. Are you cooking anything up there? And she's like, no, do you guys want to order a pizza? And then like 2 minutes after that, she's seen in like the security guard fucking commissary or something building what is no doubt a Garfield sandwich.
Yes, absolutely. It's the biggest sandwich I've ever seen.
She's got this huge sandwich and she's like, all right. Yeah, I'm off to floor 26.
Also, by the way,
the
most offensive thing about this sequence is she takes out the mayonnaise to put it on the sandwich, this giant dogwood sandwich, and
she does not
put it back in the fucking fridge.
Yep,
she leaves mayo sitting on the counter.
Because, dude, how else are you going to know that some of this movie was brought to you by Hellman's?
I guess so.
It's just right, dude, it's fucking label facing the camera, Hellman's mayonnaise.
Eric, she put a whole pickle in a sandwich. She clearly does not care about anything.
Dude, this lady's a fucking anarchist.
Gary Busey's like, let the sandwich go. It means nothing to you.
This is my sandwich now.
Some people just want to see the condiments spoil.
Yes. How long would you go just looking at eggs and oil mixed together?
So there's a bunch of stuff that happens. Basically, I mean, look,
yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
No, this woman gets like killed pretty cruelly. She also gets shot in the heart.
It's very cruel. It's very cruel. That's
she's
a great
a lovable
word.
Character.
This sandwich, this cartoonish sandwich, man, I was so excited to watch her eat it.
Yeah.
She never got to eat that sandwich. Mm-hmm.
Well, because again, they have to hammer into you that these are villainous people that you hate. Not killing the fucking protagonist's brother didn't do it.
Right. I mean, like Gary Busey's whole thing is like, all right now, all right, just tell him everything's fine. You're going to be okay. Just tell him everything's fine. And she does exactly what he says. And he's like, all right, that's it. Lights out. Like murders her.
Yeah. Well, she did see him.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He has. This is the line. He's like, okay, then. You're dismissed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And fucking shoots her right in the heart. A lot of direct heart shots in this movie. Mm-hmm. These skydivers are shooting to kill, man.
It's beautiful.
And then this is when Wesley Snipes and Yancey Butler get into the action. Yancey Butler fights the other woman in an office. It's like a fucking mirror fight from, speaking of Mortal Kombat, Sonya Blade versus Sonya Blade.
Oh, man, mirror match.
Yeah. And she kills her with a copier. No quip with the copier, though.
No.
There could have been something.
And, that would be like she's looking at the face, looking at the copy, and she's like, wow, I'm seeing double.
Yeah.
Like, there could be that.
Mm-hmm. Making copies.
Yeah, oh, it was 94.
Yeah,
definitely
making
it.
Schneider cameo, dude. Mm-hmm. He's just there.
He just comes out with his fucking goblin face, and he's just like, making copies. And then fucking Gary Busey shoots him in the heart.
Yes, I love it.
I prefer that. I like that. I would like that to happen.
It's brutal, though, man. She is smashing this woman's face on the fucking copy bed. I think the gag speaks for itself.
It
though.
Does. It is a gag.
We're making like a lot of the copies come out, and it's just her fucked up face, which is pretty funny.
I'll tell you this though, this is deeply unbelievable. Wesley Snipes wins a fight by default. No. This guy, he like fights, and he like they go down the stairs together, and he just breaks his neck.
Oh, right. This dude, like, it's an accidental kill.
Yeah. And then, like, these
people.
Yeah, that's
a real letdown.
These people who have been slaughtering people on the regular.
Yeah.
They find one body of their own and they go to pieces.
Yeah, they do.
This well, no, guy Wesley who Snipes, they don't give a shit about, clearly.
Wesley Snipes does a Die Hard. He puts him through, he uses his parachute and kind of puts him through the elevator.
Oh,
yes. He doesn't put, ha ha ha, I'm a machine gun, but it's pretty close.
It's just without the little catchphrase on the t-shirt.
Isn't there also like an Air Force One kill coming up?
Yeah, the blonde-haired
yes.
guy.
Yes. Yeah, the dude who looks like he could be in Die Hard. So like they're on the roof. This guy is fighting
Swoop
and fucking Northern Exposure dude. Well, who's actually in what? What's his actual credit?
He's in Cliffhanger. He's okay. The bald guy from Cliffhanger.
He gets shot.
Just a shoulder shot, though. They were clearly yes. aiming for his heart, though. it's like this dude's left shoulder, and I was like, you were going right for that bald man's heart.
But the best part of it is like, Swoop is willing to kill at this point. You know what I mean?
He's, like gotten into it, man. Mm,
he's like a deputy at this point.
What's weird, though, is there's no scene where... like Swoop, bald guy, Grace Zabriskie, they don't like freak out finding out that he's a cop.
Yes.
You need that scene of like, you're a what? Oh no!
I am a DEA agent.
Yeah, exactly. You need something like that.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Selkirk is Corin Nemec's character's name. Just had that pop.
Selly. He's constantly Selly, called
yeah,
Selly.
Yeah, I think he landed the miracle on the Mohawk.
But yeah, not the Hudson. Swoop is like, oh, you shot my friend in the shoulder, huh? Well, I'm going to put this noose around your neck and pull your fucking parachute.
It's quite great. It's an exact fucking get off my plane, nice. Which was after this, though.
Yeah, right, yes.
But somebody saw this movie.
Well, this one's got the helicopter pad lights going on, so it's a real feature for the neighbors.
Well, this was...
I say that man's being hung by a plane.
Well, Harrison Ford did it twice. Well, the first time he, you know, the second shot was, get off my plane, which everybody knows. But the first one was, I'm going to do what Swoop did in Drop Zone. Crack.
You ever see my favorite movies, Drop Zone? President Punch saw it twice in theaters.
Swoop, there it is.
Oh, it was coming. I don't know how, but they found me. I mean, man, at the start of this, it was like,
"Welcome to We Hate Movies." And I was like, someone's going to fucking say Swoop There It Is. Well, thank you for making the prophecy come true.
It's happened. Now the world can end.
I owe you $5.
Maybe this guy just likes Nike. Anyone ever think of that?
Oh, that could be. Yeah. Well, that would be Swoosh.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm not calling a grown adult Swoosh.
Now, and what is a swoop?
Well, that's a move in skydiving where, you know, it starts off as a tandem jump. Mm, okay. And then the prank part is you detach the person who doesn't have the chute. You kick them in the back. That's not true. Fucking Swoop There It Is, yeah, man.
Well, they're calling him Swoop. I thought it was like a Star Wars name, you know, like Dash Rendar. Like swoop, whatever.
There might
Rendar.
Be this,
oh, there's swoop bikes in Star Wars. I think. No,
the fuck
a
is a
gang?
Swoop gang?
I think it's like there's. I think the Empire has speeder bikes and like dirt bags have swoops. I don't know.
I thought the swoop gang was like in Attack of the Clones when Anakin goes into that fucking Scuzz bar.
And there's Elon Sleaze-Bagano.
When Sleaze-Bagano's there and he's got his fucking gang of fucking swoops.
Maybe.
I'm totally making that up.
Well, you know what? It's something.
Of course it is, because it's Star Wars. You just give something a stupid-ass fucking name and place it somewhere, and it sounds accurate.
I do know that the swoop bikes were designed by disgraced Jedi Swoop Tusk.
No, they weren't.
No, there's...
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Maybe Kawadu Drive Yards, but not that.
Maybe it was Cypher Diaz, man. Maybe finally figured out what that guy was up to.
So there's a great thing... When Gary Busey, like, gets his fucking paws on this woman,
yeah,
it's this hilarious, like, he grabs her and just screams in her face. Dude, I think you could turn to stone if that happened. If Gary Busey puts his arms around you and screams while looking, like, directly in your eyes, you'll turn to stone.
Hey, if she dies from shock, which she would, that's an easier murder beef. Come on.
You'd at least have an Anna Paquin X-Men 1 white streak after that moment. You know what I mean? You're not walking out there completely unscathed.
Exactly.
And then Ian McKellen like, "We love what you did with your hair."
Oh man, that is the bitchiest line in that whole franchise. I fucking love it. Oh, I love it.
But so this is the fight finally between Snipes and Busey. They're yes. going at it. We get your classic. We both have our guns out at each other.
Yep.
They're both empty.
Both yeah. empty. You know what we also have though that's quite childish is the like I'm on one side of the desk yes. and you're on the other side.
Yeah.
It's just a shitty computer console. Let's fucking fire wildly into that thing. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you would still just get clicks, clicks, clicks. But then yeah, you would get it done with quicker, I guess.
Well, I mean, I certainly know that neither of them are getting shot in the face. Like that's not going to be how this movie ends.
No.
That would be pretty cool.
Do we all remember how Gary Busey gets it?
Oh, of course, we'll get there. We're
what the up. Fucking greatest death in the movie
in the whole in cinema history?
I mean it's fucking awesome.
They're just kind of fighting each other. It's great.
It's pretty, you know, they're really going at it. A lot of good choreography here, mm-hmm. you know, even from Busey. It's like a good, solid fucking
Well, this is before he went full
fight.
Crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but this is definitely post-accident,
yes.
though.
He was on the lip. Like, this was close.
I'm going.
And then, so yeah, it's awesome. Wesley Snipes is just like, hey, fuck it.
Yeah.
And just grabs him and jumps out this window.
Oh, man.
Pretty fucking great. Wesley immediately pulls his parachute. Another secret parachute, man. Mm-hmm. They're all over this picture. And then he proceeds to, as he's going up in the air, dump Gary Busey's dummy. Because it's a grade A practical effects dummy fall.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
This is my only beef with this movie.
Oh, dude, this fucking bumps it up half a star.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You need Savini in here. This should look like Hellraiser's bathroom. Yeah. Like this should be a real fucking bloodbath.
Oh, I'm sorry for not cleaning up. I didn't expect company.
Well, you're right.
I mean, it's all over the tiles, on the ceiling even.
Because he goes through.
Look, everyone, it's hell. You can't judge me for my bathroom in hell. Of course, my grout is stained blood red.
Like. 30 miles.
You're supposed to enjoy going to the bathroom in hell. Get fucking with it. Shit, I'm sick of it.
So Busey does go through the windshield of the
tactical nuke.
Yes, and to Chris's credit, he's right. There should be like a blood mist or an explosion of gore or
explosion.
Something.
Explosion. He should explode.
This dummy just goes through this windshield, and it's like, well, that's it.
The guy's still driving the truck.
That's the guy from before. The guy with the beard.
Who's too fat for skydiving.
Right, too fat to fly.
He's the wheelmaster from Justified.
But it's a great shot because it's Busey. Like, it's partially dummy, but at one shot. It is Busey, like, probably on a rig or something going in, and you see those teeth, and he's like,
Dude, and his fucking teeth burst into this windshield. It's awesome.
I mean, yeah, it should be like Jamie Foxx in Baby Driver. Like, he should be, like, impaled by the teeth.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, I don't understand the physics of this, because it's like a down, and then he stops in midair to go forward into this really good point. It makes no fucking sense.
It's like rocket boots, I think.
It's as hard as destroying the Death Star. Like, you have to, like, really get Busey right in there.
Well, like, it's like the end of True Lies when the terrorist is, like, stuck on that fucking rocket. Like, he's going straight at this truck. He got launched from some shit.
And just, you should be throwing, like, fucking cans of paint out the side.
He should have flown right into that fat guy.
Yes.
And that is just like it's like two people-shaped water balloons just exploding. I'd love it.
And then, so that's the end of it, really. Wesley Snipes is hurt. He's on a gurney. And then he sees Michael Jeter come out in a DEA jacket pretending like he's a slippery guy. And you think that he's going to get away, but nuh-uh. Swoop has been deputized.
There it is.
Swoop, there it is indeed.
He swoops in. He, like, jumps off a building nearby to tackle this guy.
I think Swoop has, like, magical binocular vision.
Yeah.
I don't know how he notices what the fuck's going on.
He might be like Batman or something.
This dude being Batman.
The idea that, like, you never know when someone's going to skydive in this movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you might. Right now, we're having a nice conversation. I can just jump out your window because I'm a skydiver.
Just right out, dude. Mm-hmm. And you secret shoot.
Wow, it's not that far, man.
Yeah, I only live on the second floor.
You'll probably break a leg before you get any shootout.
And then it's just like, this is where they should be kissing.
They both have their arms around each other.
It's all really, just right there. Hollywood is fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Society's terrible.
Yeah, everything's terrible.
Everything is terrible. It's just like, we're going to fade out. And once there's no visible human beings in the frame, mm-hmm. then we can start making out. But not before. Not a fucking frame before. Do you understand me? Says studio executive at Paramount.
Just keep laughing. Yeah, keep holding each other, but laughing. You're laughing with your mouths open.
Yeah, it was traumatizing, but you're having fucking fun now. Laugh. Laugh, goddamn you.
Keep those lips separate. And then we cut to SNN's headquarters, and they're like, oh, my God, we finally have real news to bring you. I'm so excited. Oh, wait, what? We've been canceled. Shit. On the one night, we finally have something to broadcast.
Well, there goes my Pulitzer.
And with that, I'll leave you with just fond wishes, safe travels in the sky, and I'll see you on the other side.
Cuts off before he finishes.
Because it turns out this dude, his whole network setup, like the desk and everything, has just been inside a plane.
Oh, shit.
And he skydives out of the set.
With the desk and everything.
The whole thing, dude. He just fucking pushes the whole set out of a plane. The end credits are weird because it's like a setting sun and a woman doing like... It looks like the end of Hot Shots.
Like the Hot Shots.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it's like this... I don't even know what you call them. These like wind column things where there's a training montage where they get Wesley in one of these things and he's working on like balancing himself while flying through a bunch of wind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's... to me, this is the biggest selling point of the movie is there is a... That whole scene... A full Toad the Wet Sprocket song.
Oh, yes.
Through the whole fucking crank, dude.
And it's a woman doing like acrobatics in one of these wind tunnel things against a setting sun. Why not just some end footage of skydiving?
Sure.
What the fuck? What is this horse shit? I don't need to watch this.
No, he couldn't get the rights from SNN.
you won't be able to afford what we're going to ask for.
Are you kidding me? Tomorrow I have to interview Joseph McCarthy.
Wait, what? From hell?
Well, you know, now he's dead.
Oh, right. Oh,
now he's on HNN.
Oh, that's with Jeffrey Jones, right?
Yes.
Part of the Stay Tuned-iverse.
And that's it. I actually do appreciate how this is just a quick wrap-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, well, there's literally no more story that needs to be told. Yeah. Roll those credits, which is, you know, admirable.
Sure.
There's no fucking, like, let me pull over and, you know... Sean Connery's last voiceover appearance or anything.
I thought you might get like a McCracken like going to that boat where the white villain was.
Oh,
maybe,
right.
Yeah, maybe something he like gets
that,
him.
Because I don't think that dude gets taken down, does
no,
he?
No, no, no. He's never seen again.
Well, that's fucking dude. Corporate America lives to see another day.
You know what would be nice is it's Malcolm and Jamal Warner's grave. And he's bringing his new girlfriend, Yancey Butler. And
yes.
He's like, look, I finally found the woman of my dreams. And yes, she's white America. Can we fucking stand it?
I'll really piss over some fucking shitheads in this country. Dude, she's pregnant.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
John, I'm going to tell you what we did with your ending. We burned it. We clipped it off the end and we burned it. Now you get back in the studio and you shoot some skydivers for my credits. Or I'm going to kill you.
Did you see, by the way, who was the second unit director on all the skydiving? Yes. J.D. Caruso.
DJ Caruso.
Or DJ, yeah.
And it's hilarious because they almost have the same... John Badham and him have kind of the exact same career.
They both directed Saturday Night Fever.
And War Games.
Like middle of the road, not good, not not great.
Yeah. You know what I suspect doesn't hold up, but when it came out I thought was amazing was the DJ Caruso film Salt and Sea.
Oh, yeah.
With Val Kilmer. I bet that's just obnoxious to watch.
I never liked it. I saw it once back when it came out.
Kind of
like
ditto,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, I was just my appeal, and this is why I'm actually kind of surprised that you didn't like it, but actually you're more versed in this than I am, but like it is that like pulpy, like neo-noir kind of shit.
Yeah. Good Kilmer, too. Very good Kilmer.
Good Kilmer from what I remembered, but who even knows? But I do actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it's definitely Vincent D'Onofrio with a pig nose.
Yeah, that's fun.
And also Adam Goldberg is like fisting shit at some point.
Yeah, you guys are reminding me why I don't like it.
Disturbia, probably a Stay Tuned, right?
Also, probably.
Oh, you know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Because why not? But I remember kind of liking that movie.
I never saw
it. I was like, oh, it's like Rear Window with the internet. Yeah. Well,
if I remember as being
exactly
like
that.
Insanely boring, but it's probably also ludicrous. Eagle Eye.
Mm. Oh, dude. Me and the missus saw Eagle Eye in the fucking theater. Yeah, it's a real turd salad. Would anybody recommend this movie? Because that's the end of it.
Oh yeah, it's great. I really loved it. It was super fun. It's it's a blast. It's a Stone Cold Wesley Snipes blast. He's doing karate.
Yep.
He's doing the thing, and yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me a lot of Point Break, but it's very good. I mean, this is it is probably one of my favorite Snipes movies, actually, now that I think. Yeah, probably.
But do you think that due to like the content, actual quality of the film, or because this is your first Wesley Snipes experience?
It's both. I mean, I also like I like John Badham as a director. I really like Saturday Night Fever.
Great movie.
The first Stakeout, I actually think is great.
The first Stakeout is that's a franchise. Well, franchise, two movies, but it's like one is grossly different than the other one.
Yes. The first one's a real movie. The second one is a Stay Tuned.
And I've seen it like 40 times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
That was a repeat rental. I never owned it. Repeat rental. That's fucking
sad. I just thought Emilio Estevez was the living end for a long time there.
Well, think about what that plot of that movie is. They're on this stakeout where it's Richard Dreyfuss and Rosie O'Donnell pretending to be parents to Emilio Estevez.
Yes.
Who's like 40.
Yeah.
What about you there, Mr. Siska?
I like it a lot. I like Drop Zone. Not another Stakeout. I like Drop Zone a lot. It's a strong recommend. And I think we said this last week that this would be the turkey.
This is definitely the turkey.
Of
the
Snipesgiving.
Oh,
and
turkey.
I want to mention, and I want to thank everyone who came out to our Blade Trinity show this past week or whenever it was.
I think that's about right.
If
that episode comes out, that will be the leftover.
Oh, yes, right.
Oh, bravo.
That's your turkey sandwich the next day.
I've been thinking about that all week.
Glad
glad you got it done.
Yeah, I had a fucking blast with this movie. It was, I think, by far the best Snipes-giving selection.
Sure.
I think this is a grade A hangover movie.
Because
you wake up, man, you're getting like acid reflux, you're running to the bathroom. But then you give yourself a hot second because there's some beautiful skydiving footage.
That's what makes it, because you don't have to follow the plot. You're sick. You're puking your fucking guts out. And you come back, you look at the TV, and you see that beautiful aerial footage.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
And some Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Which cannot forget about that.
Cannot go wrong with.
Nope.
Now, I do want to ask this question, though, because it's the end of Snipesgiving.
Okay.
And so we've been talking about, like, you know, some, like, fun to boring and bad Wesley Snipes movies. Can we go around and give, like, wow, that's a solid ass Wesley Snipes movie?
Sure. I mean, like, yeah, I'll take the easy one because I just rewatched it. It holds up. Blade 2. And, like, he never gets enough credit for the superhero boom that we're currently in. It was post-Batman. We had a lull. We tried Spawn. That didn't work. Blade came out, and everyone was like, oh, superheroes are cool. Let's try and do X-Men, which is kind of very leathery jacket, kind of like your Blade.
Yeah.
And then we go on from that. Yeah, it's Blade.
I love Jungle Fever. I think it's an incredible movie. And I also really like him in King of New York.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, right. Oh, fuck, yeah.
And Lawrence Fishburne's amazing.
Lawrence Fishburne is fucking insane in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
His work with Spike Lee in general is just incredible.
Yeah. Mr. Sisko.
Demolition Man.
Of course. Yes.
Legitimately good movie.
I was waiting for you.
Absolutely. It's a classic.
My pick has to be New Jack City, man. He's fucking awesome in really New Jack City. Movie. And that movie has one of the best openings ever because it's Wesley on the fucking Queensboro Bridge dangling a dude by his fucking ankle, just threatening to drop. And it's fucking great.
And not to push us over the top here, but how can we save Wesley's career is my question. Because it's unfair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's great. He's still in amazing shape. You know, he paid his debt to society.
He did.
And a lot of people in the world should have gone to jail for a lot less.
I guess the Taken formula, because, like, right now he's doing, like, these movies where he's, like, fighting aliens or some shit.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about The Recall?
From this year?
I don't even know if it's out yet or not. I guess maybe direct to DVD.
I have no idea. But, I have Taken. It's hard to know what to do with an aging action star.
Sure.
You know? So it's...
Well, Oh, go ahead.
I mean, because he is, I mean, I said Spike Lee, but he is incredible in Chi-Raq.
I was going to say that. Yeah, that was a really good point.
And like, I really thought that was going to, like, get him more attention. Like, I thought that alone would do it, but it hasn't really seemed to go that way. I mean, he's doing alien movies, so I guess he's getting paid, so that's nice.
Yeah, I guess that's fine. But I mean, yeah, you know, just every time Spike announces he's going to make a new movie, see if he can get in there. Because that's the thing, like, aging action star, yes, he is, but he's also, like, proven to be more.
Yeah.
So I think the sky should be the limit for Wesley Snipes, drop zone joke here. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, he is a fucking great actor. And, you know, guys? We've had a lot of fun this month on We Hate Movies.
Yeah, we have.
But he's fucking awesome.
Well, you know what a move to do is get him, and it's very on brand for me to say this, get him in, like, Black Panther 2 as the villain or something.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's actually a really good idea to get him involved in the Marvel world.
Because Marvel owes their shit to him because, he, like I said earlier, he revamped the superhero formula. B, he was supposed to play the Black Panther and the movie didn't go anywhere.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, like way back when. It was like, oh, you did Blade. Do Black Panther 2. Like, absolutely, I would love to. And then it just went nowhere.
Does Black Panther, because I know in that Captain America movie, his father's murdered, but does he have any kind of, like, older dude relatives?
Well, his dad died in Civil War.
That's literally what I just said. It's literally.
I just stopped listening when you talk.
Oh, wow. Oh, thanks a bunch.
No, I don't know. I missed
He's
that.
Thinking about the mailbag. Don't worry.
No. Yeah,
Steve's like, we have more work to do tonight.
The credits are rolling this episode.
That's Drop Zone, directed by John Badham. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over at HeadGum. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. Follow us on Twitter. We are at @WHMPodcast. Like us on Facebook. Listen, just find us on social media, man. There's more We Hate Movies content there, technically, but also literally on our Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Animation Damnations there, commentaries. We're getting ready to release for December, you guys, our final commentary of 2017, Rambo.
Oh,
wait, that is the 2008 film.
Yes.
The most recent of the Ramboings.
It is bad.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty awful. It's a real turd salad. So there's more WHM content over at Patreon. Do not miss it. So next week, unfortunately, Snipesgiving, like we've been saying, is over with. So we're rolling into the month of December with what the fuck?
Speaking of Marvel movies, we're doing The Punisher.
That's right. The 2004 John Travolta Punisher movie. It's not the what's his face movie.
Not the Ray Winstone.
No, not
Ray Winstone. Ray
Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson.
Yeah. Or Dolph Lundgren.
No, which is a legitimately great
movie.
Which
is a fucking amazing movie.
But this one coming up next week on the show totally fucking sucks. And you know what? It's not all Travolta's fault.
No.
But we'll get into it then. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
We love Wesley Snipes.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.